The Create and Thrive Podcast, episode 59. 10 tips to help established handmade sellers save time and improve business. Part 1. Removing all of those products didn't hurt us at all. It actually helped us because I think it was easier for people to find the stuff they really wanted to buy.
I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning.
Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to the Create and Thrive Podcast for another week. It's wonderful to be here with you. I'm sitting at my desk. It is now winter here in the Southern Hemisphere. Still not very cold, let's be honest, where I live in Queensland. But it's a little bit chilly, and I've got my jumper on, sweater, for those of you who don't understand lingo, and my track pants, as you call them. What are they? Long, warm pants. All my Australianisms. I'll start talking about Arvo and servos and sunnies soon. So, yeah, it's a bit chilly, but I'm sitting here nice and warm with you to talk about handmade business, as always. Specifically, though, this week, I want to talk to those of you who are established sellers. I know I talk a lot about how to get your nascent handmade business off the ground. My kind of goal in this life when it comes to Create and Thrive is really to help people make that transition from hobbyist to business owner. But I also want to help those of you who are a little bit further along the path and, you know, the basics are covered, you kind of got things happening, it's all going on. But it's really, you know, you still have a lot to learn and you still have a lot of tweaks you can make to improve your business. You know, when you've been running your business for a while, like I have, it's been almost 8 years now since I started Aferial. You've achieved some success, and at that point, you come up against a whole new set of challenges and barriers, things that you would have never crossed your mind in the beginning because you were just focused on the basics, but are now becoming pressing concerns as you grow your business. Things like, how do you keep up when you're getting more orders than you can handle? How do you make time for creating new designs when you're flat out keeping up with making an admin? And how can you streamline and simplify in every area of your business so you have the time to do everything? You know, it can be easy to fall into bad habits when orders are few and far between and you're spending most of your time making new designs, adding new stock to your website, and getting the word out about your business. But there reaches a point in any, you know, business that's going well where things start getting stressful because you're too busy. There's too much going on. Now, having too many orders, to those of you who are just starting out, might sound like an awesome problem to have. And it is an awesome problem to have. If you're going to have a problem, it's a good one. But it's actually a serious problem. And it's something that if you have come up against that, you know how stressful it can be. And everybody has their own solution or solutions to dealing with that, you know. You might hire help, you might raise your prices, you might take a break for a while to catch up. There's lots of things you can do. But basically, you know, if you find yourself in the position where you're stretched for time and you're stressed out because your business is growing, I've got 10 tips for you in this episode that'll help you kind of claw back a lot of control and time via simplification, systemization, and more effective time management. Sound good? All right, let's dive into it then. So the first thing you want to do, number one, is to streamline your order processing system. So by that, I mean from the point where somebody buys something from you, specifically online really, but if you take custom orders via Facebook or by email or even at markets, you know, there's a whole process you have to go through from the point of getting the order to shipping it out the door. So, you know, that system can be very, when you're just starting out, it can all be a bit haphazard because, you know, like I said, you're only getting a couple of orders a week and, you know, it's not a real big deal. And you can get a bit lax about it. But when you're getting multiple orders a day, having a set determined system From the moment that order hits your inbox to the moment you click the shipping button, the shipped button, is really, really vital. It'll not only save you time and stress, but to make sure you don't make mistakes, mix up orders, or miss orders. We have done this. I have sent the wrong thing to the wrong person, I think twice in my entire business career. Once we did a swap, like we sent two orders to the two, like we swapped them accidentally. Thankfully, our customers were very understanding and we got the right thing to them ASAP. But it can happen if because we pack maybe twice a week, we ship. And so there's anywhere from 5 to 15 orders, depending on what's going on. And if you're not really clear about which piece of jewelry is for which person, you can make mistakes like that, especially when you have a lot of stuff that's similar, like our best-selling ring, where I think every single time we ship, there's more than one of those, and it's just the size that's different. So you have to make sure you have the right thing for the right person. I actually wrote an entire long post on this on the blog. I'll find the link and put it in the show notes. This is episode 59 if you're looking for it. I might even do a whole episode on that, actually, if you guys will find that useful, because there is, there's all these steps that we go through. Everything is very systemized and very step by step. A quick one, this might help you just, we have an order book. Every single order, no matter where it comes from, goes, I write it manually in that actual physical book that I have it right here. That's it there. Every single order goes in there in order, date order of when they come in. And every single order is ticked off in there and the shipping date is put in. So it's kind of like my business Bible, and I can always refer back to past orders and stuff like that. And along with that book, we use post-it notes. Here's our post-it notes. Just boring old yellow post-it notes. And for every order, we have a post-it note. And on that post-it note, I'll just have a look. I've got some on my desk now. We put their name, the person's name. We write all the details of the order on there. And we put where it's from. So this one was ordered via Etsy. And the date it was ordered in the other bottom corner. So all the important information is on that post-it note. We know who it is. We know what they've ordered. If there's any special things, like they've got upgraded shipping, that goes on there and is highlighted so we don't miss it. And we can see when they ordered, so we know when we have to get it out the door by. So, and that's that post-it note travels with that piece of jewelry through the studio, through the process. Every single time we do one thing to that piece of jewelry, it goes back on the post-it note, and that goes back on the post-it note. So it's always being kept, with its information. So that is really important. And with Nick and I, we both handle different parts of the process, and we have a really a straightforward system for who's responsible for what, where things go when, and so forth. So I won't go into any more detail, but as I said, there's a whole post on this explaining it over on Create and Thrive. And it's a really useful thing because it means that you don't get stressed out and go, oh my gosh, who does this belong to? When is this due? Like, when do I have to get this out the door by? It's all there and it's really simple and straightforward. Okay, so the second tip, number two, is to reduce and simplify your inventory. So if you've been in business for a few years, your product line might be getting a little bit bloated. Are you still hanging on to products you designed years ago, but that no longer fit the aesthetic of your brand, or that don't reflect the direction you want to take your business? Do you have old designs sitting there that never sold well, but that you're holding on to for sentimental reasons? Even if you love them, sometimes it's just better to let them go. Take a step back from the products you're currently offering and ask yourself, is this still what I want to be putting out into the world? I went through this process myself a couple of years ago. It was painful. It was scary. But in hindsight, I can tell you it was one of the best decisions I made. I think we had something like 450 products in the store, which is kind of crazy. And, it was just, when you have that many products, it just takes forever for people to navigate. It's hard for the cream to rise to the top, to be visible. There was a lot of stuff there I didn't love anymore. You know, it was just kind of there because I'd made it in the past and I'd gone through all of the work to photograph it and edit the photos and write the description. I'm like, oh, how can I let go of that, all that work I've done? But I just decided, you know what, I want to strengthen my brand. I want it to be simpler and clearer and more straightforward. And I only want stuff in my shop that I absolutely love and I'm really, really proud of and that I think people will really like. So I culled, you know, about 2/3 of our product line. Just one, you know, I did a pre-cull sale. Well, not sale, but announcement, and said, look, this stuff is going. If you want to buy it, you've got like a week and then it will be gone forever and it's not coming back. So I did, you know, I sent out an announcement to my mailing list and to my social media. And yeah, I sold some of the stuff, but I didn't change my mind. I'm like, that's it. I've made the decision. And then I took it all out. The decision I made with Ethereal was I decided to remove everything that wasn't just silver. So I took out everything with gemstones, everything with beads, even some stuff that I really love, like my Urban Eco earring line with beads I really loved. I have heaps of them myself I still wear, but I'm like, you know what? No, I'm just going to simplify. The only thing I left was a couple of pieces that have coin pearls for wedding stuff, and they still sell. But everything else, it was all taken away, all the color, everything. So you were just left with silver and oxidized silver. That was it. And I was actually really happy with how it looked after that. You know, everything worked. There was no clashing of anything, you know, no clashing of colors or designs or materials. And our business just grew from strength to strength, you know. Removing all of those products didn't hurt us at all. It actually helped us because I think it was easier for people to find the stuff they really wanted to buy. So, you know, by streamlining your offerings to ensure you're only putting your best work forward, you'll not only tighten up your brand and you'll make life easier for your customer because there's less dross to sort through when they visit your shop. You know, hopefully there's no dross now, but let's be brutally honest. Sometimes there's just some crap that we aren't happy with anymore that doesn't reflect the quality of our business and our craft, especially those of us who started as hobbyists. You know, there was some stuff there that I was like, oh, that's really not good enough. And I'm going to get rid of it because it doesn't reflect where I am now as an artist, as a maker, as an artisan and a crafter. My skill level's much better. My eye for design is better. And yeah, it was just time to get rid. And you'll also, of course, this is a great thing for you, have less inventory to maintain, both physically and digitally. You know, there's less to manage, especially if you're selling on multiple platforms. So every time you like change your price or update a description, you've got to do it in many places. So less work. So, you know, having a robust range is a great thing. I think we have somewhere in the line of 180 products still. So it's still a lot. I could probably cull some more, let's be honest. But I think you can have too many items. I really do. I think the key is ensuring that everything you offer is top notch, reflects where your business is now, not where it was 2 years ago. Okay. So the next one is number 3, get strategic with your social media. So I'm guessing if you've been in business for a few years, you've probably got a number of social media accounts floating around there in cyberspace, but are you using all of them? And more to the point, are you using them strategically? The more successful your business becomes, the less time you have to devote to maintaining social media. The solution is to get, you know, more focused and more strategic with what you do. You know, really kind of think about it ahead of time, plan it out, get into habits, decide which social media you're going to focus on. I really recommend no more than 2. I think it's really hard to do a good job in more than 2 social media, like to be really engaged. So, for example, Instagram, maybe Instagram and Facebook or Instagram and Pinterest or something like that. And, you know, think about the sort of content you want to share on a weekly basis. You might want a rotating list of content types. You could have a couple of different niche types of images or content that you share regularly to make it easier for yourself. You know, make it easy. Make it a habit and, come up, do the brainstorming and think ahead of time. And then it's not such a, every single time you go, oh, I've got to share something today on social media, it's not a drama. It's easy. I know one of my Thrive Circle members, Daisy, she makes beautiful hand-dyed yarns. And she just, every morning, she shares a new picture of yarn on Instagram of something she's been working on. Simple as that. She pushes it through to Facebook. And her business is very successful. So, you don't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be overthought. I think a lot of people overthink this. Just keep it simple and do it. I'm not perfect at this. The last month for me has been shocking because I've been offline. I've had some grief and stuff. And, I've really recommitted this month to getting back on the horse when it comes to that. And when you're in business for years and years, there'll be times when things will fall apart or you'll fall behind with your social media and stuff. And, don't beat yourself up about it. Just tomorrow's a new day. Get back on the horse. Keep going. If you're the super organized type of person, you might want to say, okay, one hour a week, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to plan out my social media, create any content I need to create, posts, images, whatever. And then you might even schedule them up. Like if you're doing Facebook, you can schedule stuff ahead of time, which is awesome. Maybe you need to put an alarm on your phone to remind you to spend 10 minutes a day on Pinterest, or just an alarm on your phone to remind you to do that Instagram post. Whatever it is, decide what will work for you and your business and then make it a habit and get strategic and simplify it. Your plan's going to be different depending on your business and your goals. But if you don't have a plan, you will soon, if you haven't already, find that your social media marketing falls by the wayside in the face of more urgent tasks. Okay, so number four is to hire some help. Honestly, I could not be where I am. My business would not be as successful, I would not be as happy and stress-free if I was still doing it all by myself. No, it wouldn't be possible. I am not a one-woman show. I have a husband who works with me in the business. He's actually literally my employee. I pay him to do the work he does, and he also helps me with the non-business stuff, with the cleaning and the cooking and all of that stuff. I don't have to do all of that myself. And I have my lovely right-hand gal, Meredith, to help me with Create and Thrive stuff. She does some repetitive tasks that are taken off my plate, and she helps me, keep the community active and stuff like that, I couldn't go away for a week like I did recently offline if I didn't have those two people there to keep things going for me, really. So think about it. Really think about it. Is being a one-person show working for you, or is it time to take the next step and hire someone to help you? I know it sounds super daunting. I know those of you listening who've done it are probably like, hell yeah, best thing I ever did. But if you haven't done it yet, I know it sounds scary and daunting because you like being in control of every single aspect of your business, right? You want to be overseeing everything. You want to be doing it because you will do it right. And you'll do it the way you want to do it. You have to let go of a bit of that. I struggle with that. I'm a total control freak. I like everything to be done my way. But if your business is growing, there really does come a time when you either have to deliberately slow things down, by actually taking less orders, or you need to bring some help on board. You'll come up against this wall eventually and you have to make a decision one way or the other. There's no way around it. So if you want to hire someone, start with discrete tasks, okay? Things that you can hand off in full to someone else. So an example of this would be your bookkeeping. Nick has been doing my bookkeeping, or our bookkeeping, I should say, since, at least 4 years now. At least. It was the first thing I let go of. And it wasn't necessarily that I hated bookkeeping. I actually quite like looking at the numbers. I'm a bit of a nerd like that. I like, you know, I still log into Xero at least once a week, usually more, and look at our profit and loss for the month, see how we're going, see how sales are going, and keep, like, I know what's going on in my business. It's really important. But that's something you can hand off. Your shipping, you could get someone in to help you with shipping once or twice a week. Your social media, you could get someone to help you with that. You know, even if it's just, you know, making images for you. Like Meredith, that's something she does for me with Create and Thrive, is she makes like those lovely quote images that you'll see on our Facebook and Instagram. That's something she does for me so that I don't have to do it. It's a discrete job. That's one thing she can handle. And don't forget all the other parts of your life that you can outsource. What about hiring a cleaner? So you don't have to do that anymore. I am so down with hiring a cleaner. I used to be a cleaner. Did you know that? That was my my part-time job, my casual job when I was at uni. I was a commercial cleaner for 2 years. I worked with a family friend's business, and then I worked as an exit rental cleaner for about a year. And yeah, I hate cleaning for free now because I used to get paid for it. I'm just not a fan. You know, it's one of those jobs. Who really enjoys it? I guess some people do. I don't. Now that we've moved into this mansion of a house, I think we'll probably get a cleaner at some stage. But for now, we're just doing it ourselves. It's not that expensive. Get someone in every week or fortnight to do that deep cleaning stuff. And you're supporting the local economy, supporting a local business person, and it's one less thing you have to do. There's all sorts of stuff around the rest of your life that you can outsource. So think about the things you hate doing, or the things that you are happy to let go of and let someone else do. Then let them do it. And if your business is at the point that, you know, your business is so successful that you're running out of time, you should be able to afford to do this. You should be able to afford to hire someone to help you. And if you can't, you're not charging enough. Your prices are too low. So that's a whole nother conversation, but we won't have that now. So, you know, look at your business and the rest of your life and really aim to find those discrete bundles of work that you can hire someone else to do for you. Chances are you can hire them at a reasonable rate that'll free you up to spend more time on the activities that actually grow your business and bring in more money. So it's a win-win upward spiral. Okay, number 5 is to schedule breaks. It's really easy to let a growing business spread its tendrils into every waking hour of your life until you find yourself checking your email when you wake up in the middle of the night and start breaking out in a cold sweat when you accidentally leave your phone at home for 5 minutes. Not a healthy way to live. This hyper-aware state keeps your body in a constant state of stress, and it's just no good for your mental or your physical health. I learned this the hard way many years ago now, thankfully. I burnt out. I was working 16-hour days every day just to get things going. It wasn't externally motivated. I was just so into it. I was so motivated to to build this business of mine that's what I did, because it's literally all I could think about. It's all I wanted to do. Which I know, you know, in some ways was a good thing, in that the more work I did in a shorter period of time kind of got the word out there more. However, I'd rather take another 6 months or so to grow my business than to do that again, because it's just not healthy. I was literally doing nothing else. I would wake up in the morning, working till I went to bed. So these days, life is much better and much more balanced, thanks to my own self pulling back, going through that point where I woke up one day and went, wow, I am like, you know, I'd gained weight, I'd gotten unhealthy, because I wasn't exercising, I wasn't really consciously thinking about myself at all. This is before I got into yoga years and years ago or anything. And it was only through a process of stepping back and, you know, clawing time back and taking care of me first that I overcame that. And now my life is very, very much more balanced. You know, I exercise every morning, I do yoga, I meditate, Most days I eat reasonably well. I don't deny myself because I love food. I have other hobbies outside of my work that I love, you know, and that's really important. There's that old thing, you know, when your hobby becomes your business, you need to find a new hobby. And it's absolutely true because the two things are very different. So, in other words, you need to learn to set boundaries and take breaks. It's a crucial skill to master if you want to continue to run your business into the future without burning out. So, you know, work out what sort of rhythm works for you and make taking some downtime a priority. Maybe you want to set daily work hours. I have work hours. My work hours are 10 to 4 or 5, depending on the day. Sometimes I have to work outside those hours. Like sometimes I'll have a Thriver Circle call or chat in the evening and I know that's happening and I've just deliberately decided to do that so that, you know, people in different time zones can participate. And that's cool because I've made the decision and it's a once in a while thing. Sometimes I'll just be super inspired and I'll keep working into the evening. Again, it's okay because it's not a regular thing. It's just something that happens every so often. I have days off, you know, weekends. Sundays, I'm completely offline. I don't get online. I don't check my email. I don't check social media. It's my day to live in the rest of the world and spend time with friends and family and get out and do stuff. You know, so everybody's going to be different though. That might not work for you. You need to decide what works for you. And, you know, by making that decision, it will really pay off. You know, maybe you need to switch off a few times a year and take a digital sabbatical, like I talked about a couple of episodes ago. That can be a really powerful way to kind of reset everything. And if you are that person I just talked about, who's like, has like working all the time, I strongly recommend you take at least 3 days, take a digital sabbatical to start again. Like it's just, it's a way to just let go of everything, wake up to the world outside of your business again. And you can spend that time, like you can spend that time thinking about what you want. Like you can spend some time journaling and planning and reimagining your life. Do the ideal day exercise. You know, what does your ideal day look like? Literally write it down from morning to night. And then try to work out how you can change things so that your real day comes more aligned with your ideal day. I can't stress enough how powerful taking that time can really be for your business. So really, really, really think about doing that. Okay, so we've done 5 things. I'm actually going to stop there because I think, you know, we've almost up to half an hour and I know a lot of you are busy people. And I'm actually going to continue this episode next week. I'm going to do part 2 of this next week where I'll do the next 5 tips to help established handmade sellers save time and improve business. Okay, so that was the first 5. So let's just recap those before we finish up. Number 1, streamline your order processing system. Remember to check the blog for that post. I'll have it in the show notes for episode 59. Number 2, reduce and simplify your inventory. Number 3, get strategic with your social media. Number 4, hire some help. And number 5, schedule breaks. So make sure to come back next week and listen to part 2 of this episode where I'll do the next 5 things that I recommend that you do. Oh, and before I go, I have something a little bit epic coming up next month. Would you like someone to help you for a whole year? That's 52 weeks. And take you through step by step everything you need to think about, do, plan, decide when it comes to growing a handmade business from scratch or revamping one you've already got. Well, that is what I'm going to be bringing to the table next month. Yes, a year-long program with 52 weeks, one lesson a week, where I'm going to take you from the very beginning, the foundations of your business, right through everything you need to know.
I'm going to tell you more about it next week. But for now, I just wanted to give you a bit of a heads up that this is happening. And if you think, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing, how can I be part of this? It is exclusively for my Thriver Circle members. So this program will be available to every single member of the Thriver Circle. And that's the only way you can get access to it. I'm not allowing access any other way. So Thriver Circle membership will be opening again in July. The 12th of July, to be specific, is when it will open next. And that is when you will get access to this brand new year-long epic program of mine. If you're already in the Thriver Circle, get excited because this is coming. It's going to be, you're going to be, my current Thriver Circle members are going to join us after the next lot of memberships close. I'm going to add everybody who's already a member, and all of our new members are going to start the program together. And then every time membership opens again, the new cohort of people will start the program from the beginning. So yeah, I'm really, really super excited about this program. I've planned it all out. It's looking awesome. And I just really wanted to bring something pretty epic to the world of handmade business, something where you can get that step-by-step guidance for a long period of time. Because honestly, if you're serious about this whole business thing, a year is just the beginning. So yeah, keep an eye out, keep an ear out to the podcast. I'll tell you more details about the program over the coming weeks before Thriver Circle membership opens again. And if you want to take part, make sure you're on the Create and Thrive mailing list and you won't miss out. Because when I do open Thriver Circle membership, it's only 4 times a year and it's only for 48 hours at a time. So you need to make sure you get in there when I open membership up. So yeah, there's a little sneak peek of what's coming up next month for the Thriver Circle. I hope that sounds awesome to you. I'm excited about bringing it, you know, to the world and to helping as many people as I possibly can. You know, that's my mission, is to reach as many people as I possibly can and help them to do this thing, to turn this hobby into a thriving, profitable business. And that's why I'm making this available the way I am. I'm not charging hundreds or thousands of dollars for this program, even though it's a ridiculous amount of value. I'm putting it in the Thriver Circle so my members can access it. So once you join, as long as you stay a member for the full year, you'll get the entire program. And if you don't know already, membership is only $15 Australian every month. And it's pay by the month. You can leave at any time. That's something like, I don't know, is it like 10 or 11 US dollars a month or something? And like £7. I haven't looked up the exchange rate recently, but it's something like that. So anyway, I'll tell you more next week. Before I go, I just want to say thank you for listening. As always, it's always an honor to be here. I love doing these podcasts every single week. It's so much fun. But it is a lot of work. And, you know, if you feel like you get value, and if this is useful to you and you find it informative and entertaining and inspiring, there's one thing you can do for me to give back that would really make a huge difference. And that is, if you listen on iTunes, can you please go over and give me a review? It would just be the best thing that you can do for me, is to get over there 2 to 3 minutes, leave me a quick review, and tell, you know, in that review what it really is for. It's not for me. It's for other listeners who might stumble across this podcast and go, hey, what is this Create and Thrive podcast? Is it worthwhile listening to? Tell them what you get out of this podcast. Tell them, you know, in a sentence or two, it doesn't have to be long. Tell them the things that you've learned, or, you know, what it is. Why do you keep coming back every week? Why do you keep coming back and listening to me rambling on? You know, what is it that I give you? What is it that you get from this podcast? Of course, I'd love to know that as well. So I'm going to go in, I'm going to go check and see. There's a couple of lovely reviews there now, but I would love to see what you think. And yeah, it'll really help other people find the podcast and help them. You know, next week will be episode 60, which is amazing. We'll be at 100 before you know it.
But there's so much content there in the back catalogue. Heck, tell us what your favourite episode is. I'd love to know that. And yeah, there's so much there that people who are like you and me, people who are trying to make this handmade business thing happen, there's so much there that can help them, I think. So please do that if you are an iTunes listener. That would be amazing. Thank you so much. All right, I will speak to you again next week and give you those next 5 tips. Thanks so much for listening, guys. I'm Jess Van Den. This has been the Create and Thrive podcast for another week. And goodbye for now.